Hello, and welcome to Sunday Messages with Fairmount Friends Church. We're so glad that you are joining us. You can find out more on www.fairmountfriendschurch.org. Here's Pastor Brock Meyer.
Premise of it. There's a man, he's got a couple daughters, and one of them's name is Katharina, and the other one's name is Bianca. And Katharina is a shrew. She is rough and tumble, and she's just got a mean spirit about her, and she's just harsh with people. Then there's a younger daughter by the name of Bianca, and Bianca is just kind-hearted, and she's just warm and fuzzy, and she's got a ton of suitors all around her, and her dad doesn't want anyone to marry Bianca until the older Kate is married. Y'all remember this story? Y'all tracking with me? No one. All right, I'll just get to it. All right. So anyway, there's a suitor that wants Bianca, and his name is Petrosian or I don't know. It's something like that. But anyway, he wants her, but he can't have her until Kate is married. So he goes up to one of his buddies, and he goes up to one of his friends, and he says, Hortensio. I don't know. Is that right? Dennis corrected me on a name yesterday at men's group. I mentioned the name. He's like, hey, son, let me help you here. But anyway, he goes up to his buddy Hortensio and he says, hey, here's the deal. How about you pursue Kate and win her over and marry her? Okay, and then I can have Bianca and I can move in on it. And so he has to pursue this girl. And he says, basically, the way that I'm going to win her is giving her a taste of her own medicine. I'm going to be harsh with her, and he would withhold food and drink from her so that she wasn't able to eat or drink. He shows up to their wedding late just to stick it to her, right, and dressed crazy at the wedding, and she's embarrassed, and he's doing all of these things just to kind of remind her of how terrible she is and how she treats other people. As I'm reading through the book of Hosea recently, I thought, man, how do you win over a person that wants nothing to do with you? And here's one approach, William Shakespeare's approach, and it was a comedy, but basically is just be nasty to them, and that's how you'll win their heart, right? This is how I'll tame you, and the goal is the whole thing is I've got a wild horse here that I've got to tame. That's the thought process. And then we come into this story of Hosea, the worst marriage in Scripture. If you think that you've had a rough marriage, let me tell you this story. Gomer was the wife of Hosea, and it's mentioned here in the Scriptures, and it comes out of the gate in Hosea chapter 1 and in verse 2. Let's read these Scriptures here. It says, when the Lord first began speaking to Israel through Hosea, he said to him, go and marry a prostitute. Whoa. That would be a hard word from the Lord, wouldn't it? And Hosea is a prophet, okay? So it's God coming to your pastor, coming to the local preacher, teacher, prophet guy, the man of God, coming to him and say, go find a prostitute. In some translations, it says a harlot or a whore. Go find one and marry her. Have a covenant relationship with her. Whew. Y'all thought your husband was rough because he hangs out in the garage too much. This goes to a whole nother level. Y'all think it's rough because your wife shops too much. We're going deep on this one. Find a prostitute, marry her, so that some of her children will be conceived in prostitution. So find a woman, children born out of prostitution, born out of her harlotry, and come into covenant with her. This will illustrate how Israel has acted like the prostitute by turning against the Lord and worshiping other gods. She was infamous for her harlotry. How many of y'all, you don't want to be infamous for your sin or your mistakes? Putting it on the front page of the paper. Recently, I was recognized at Madison Grant as a former player for certain accomplishments for different things that I had done. Thankfully, one of the things that was not mentioned is not, do I just lead this school, you know, in this record or this record? I actually lead, I have one of the records in most turnovers in a season. We only mention three-point shooting, free throw percentage, things like that. But Mike Brown, y'all familiar with Mike Brown, the statistician guy, unfortunately, he keeps those records. Thankfully, we didn't mention that. But per season, in one of the seasons, I led the team in most turnovers. That's not a thing that you want to be happy about. But I just kind of excuse it to, well, when you got the ball in your hands all the time, I mean, surely, you know, you're going to dribble it off your toe from time to time, right? You're going to throw it out of bounds, whatever. It was bad, wasn't it, Aaron? Aaron had to endure that with me. So she's infamous for this thing. As Jose is entering covenant with her, she's already into prostitution, already having children, and he's supposed to connect with her. Go to the next one here. So Hosea married Gomer. He should have known from the get. If her name's Gomer, don't marry Gomer. Man, never marry Gomer. The daughter of Diblaim. And here's the story on her father, who was already a man who had notoriety in the city for sinful ways. She was raised in this. It was her model. She had this growing up, and then she took it to the nth degree. And she became pregnant and gave Hosea a son. And the Lord said, "Name the child Jezreel, for I am about to punish King Jehu's dynasty to avenge the murders that he committed at Jezreel. In fact, I will bring an end to Israel's independence." Keep going. Soon Gomer became pregnant again and gave birth to a daughter. And the Lord said to Hosea, "Name your daughter Lo-Ruhamah. Not loved is her name. For I will no longer show love to the people of Israel or forgive them. But I will show love to the people of Judah. I will free them from their enemies, not with weapons and armies or horses or, what is that? Chariots. Look like Charlottes to me. But the power of the Lord their God." So God is saying prophetically, I want you to name your children in a certain thing, because as the people of Israel see this, and when he means Israel, he means Israel, but he's also talking about the people of God, us now as Christians. And he's saying, here's the deal, is if we could paint the picture, Hosea is God and Gomer is us. No offense, but we are Gomer in this relationship. We're running away, chasing other lovers all of the time. Where God wants to have a relationship with us, and we're ducking, we're dodging, we're diving into other relationships and other gods, whether that be entertainment, whether that be the pursuit of money, whether that literally means stepping out of your marriage and pursuing something else. God says, this is what my marriage with you looks like. You're not committed to me. And so the fruit of that, the children of that, what it looks like is there's not love here. So we go on. After Gomer had weaned Lo-Ruhamah, she became pregnant and gave birth to her second son. And the Lord said, "Name him Lo-Ami, not my people, for Israel is not my people, and I am not their God." Let's keep going. "Yet the time will come when Israel's people will be like the sands of the seashore, too many to count. Then at the place where they were told, 'You are not my people,' it will be said that you are children of the living God." He's going to flip the script and turn it on its head. "Then the people of Judah and Israel will unite together, and they will choose one leader for themselves, and they will return to exile together." And what a day that will be, the day of Jezreel, which Jezreel means that God will sow, or God will put forth new life. And when God will again plant his people in his land. Here we've got a pretty heavy scene that's happening here. And God is saying, marry this woman because I want to show you what my marriage is like. So here's Hosea, and he says yes to God. And can you imagine, number one, as the prophet, you live in a fishbowl. Everybody's peeking into your life anyway, and they're just kind of waiting for you to mess up. They're just kind of waiting to see what are their kids going to turn out to be like, right? What's going on really behind the scenes in their marriage, in their world? But he's not able to live kind of behind closed doors because his wife is already out in the streets. That's kind of a bummer whenever you show up to Rotary Club and everybody knows that your wife's the prostitute. It's kind of tough whenever you're serving on the town board and everybody knows your story. It's kind of hard whenever you show up to the guys' night and everybody has already been with your wife. This is the man of God. And then God says, we see what happens, and it almost seems to be that Gomer is settling into Mara's life. It almost seems like she's settling down. She's having kids. They're having a family, right? Perhaps this thing's going to work out. We fast forward to chapter 3, and Gomer is gone. The Lord said to me, go, show your love to your wife again, because she had left. Though she is loved by another man, and is in an adulterous relationship, love her as the Lord loves the Israelites. Though they turn to other gods and they love their sacred raisin cakes, basically they love all of the delicacies that the world has to offer. He says, go again. Go and find her. What must that search have looked like? What must the pursuit have look like? Where do you go to find a prostitute? Here's the man of God walking through the streets, through the alleys, to the bars, to the beds, going to find his wife. How heart-wrenching of a search is that? You're knocking on doors. Hey, excuse me. Hey, excuse me, I'm Jose. I'm looking for my wife. Is she here? The fact that you've even got to ask that question, is my wife in your bed? And his heart is just aching in the pursuit, and he comes up, and whenever he finally sees her, what's the revelation like? Let's go to verse 2. So I bought her for 15 shekels of silver. And about a homer of a lethek of barley. So I bought her. What's the scene when Hosea shows up? Is his wife Gomer, is she on some sort of a pedestal? She's in the sex slave industry right now. Does she have some sort of a master that's over her? Just broken, strung out, drugged up. Who knows what condition she's in? Imagine walking up to the man who's overseeing this operation. And he says, hey, excuse me, sir, that's my wife. Right? That's my wife. I'm taking her home. Hey, sir, I don't care who you think she might be. Here's her price. Okay. How much? He starts flipping through and he starts counting out his money to buy back the very thing that he already owns. To pay a price for something that is already his. He has to give. 15 shekels, and so he's counting this out, and here's his wife, and what must that exchange look like as she looks at him and no doubt is just hanging her head in shame. Here I am again. I don't know about you, but I don't know how many times I've been before the Lord. God, here I am again. Here I am dealing with this same sin pattern, this same frustration, these same temptations and attacks, and I'm out off and running with other lovers. The heart getting distracted by everything else but you, Lord. And at some point, God said, because of love that has just swelled up within me, I'm going to pursue her. I'm going to chase her down. This is the highest level of love month right here, is God loving his bride by sending his son who paid the ultimate price by spilling his blood to buy back something that he already owned. He already had it all. The Bible says that the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. There's not a single thing on the all of creation, not a single square inch where God does not say, mine. He owns it all. And yet we ran away. And he says, what's the price that I've got to pay to buy her back? Then I told her, you are to live with me for many days. You must not be a prostitute or be intimate with any man. And I will behave the same way to you. We're gonna communicate commitment back and forth to each other. For the Israelites will live many days without a king or a prince, without sacrifice or sacred stones, without an ephod or household gods. Afterwards, after this has happened, we've got to walk through this thing, but then eventually the Israelites will return. They will seek the Lord their God and David their king. They will come trembling to the Lord and his blessings in the last days. Because of this, because of what I want to produce in you, you will come to a point where you will be shaken, you will tremble, you will get crushed under the weight of my goodness. Is that wild? Such a wild thought. And I just want to ask you, if we are to love like God would have us love, how many of y'all sometimes your marriage looks more like Taming of the Shrew than it does the cross of Christ? It looks more like, I'll show you. I'm going to give back what you deserve. You treat me like this, I'll treat you like this. Hosea easily, because of the law of Moses, could have checked out, hey, she's broken covenant. I can easily divorce this woman, and in the eyes of God, I'm okay. And God says, no. We're going to go to another level of covenant, and you're going to stay in it when she deserts you. Could I encourage and appeal to the highest form of love that we've seen, which is the cross of Christ, which is modeled and fleshed out here in the life of Hosea? How many of you are in relationships, friendships, boss, coworkers, marriage, children, parents, whatever, where you're thinking, I'm the one that's ripped off all of the time. I'm the one that's committed. I'm the one that's boom, 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 this, this, and this. Could it be that God would say, it's not so much about the person's worth that you're to love, it's more about me working my plan out in you? So many times, I want to love people based upon whether I want to or not, and whether they're convenient to love. Man, this is just way too heavy. There's just a lot here. Or, I've tried that. It didn't work. You've made your bed. You're on your own. Whew. And I'm so glad that the Lord did not allow me to make my bed and leave me on my own, and that he continued to pursue. This is not a message to say that you've got to stay in toxic relationships. This isn't a message to say that you've got to stay in abusive situations. This is a message just to check your own heart to say, am I operating in the love of Christ? Is there, can we contend to draw out the last 10% of giving our best to those that we love? Is there a half a percent left that you could say, you know what, there's more that I could do in how I'm loving? Is there another chance that I could give? Is there one more step that I could take? Yesterday, somebody in our men's group said that they asked the Lord, God, if you would ever just give me a second chance. And they said, well, it was really more like my fourth chance. It was the second chance twice. And God gives us second chances twice and three times and four times and five times and on and on and on, right? So two takeaways this morning. Number one, if we see the extravagant love of someone like a Jose, how much more so the love of God? Can you just get swallowed up in the love of God right now, that you are not defined by your sin and by your mistakes? You're not defined by the guilt and the shame that can come upon you, but to be freed and lifted of all of that, and that you can be defined by the love of Christ. in the grace that he pours out on you? And number two, is there anything that I can do? Is there something that I can do in my pursuit? And whenever I pursue and I find something disgusting and nasty and something that no one would even want to touch, can I dive in and go even deeper and model the life of Christ? Here's the deal, people, is we're called to be that city on a hill. We're called to shine in the midst of all kinds of darkness. And what is the darkness that surrounds those relationships, and how can you shine the light of Christ through all of it? For some of you, perhaps the marriage is rough. Perhaps some job relationships are rough right now. Can I just encourage you with this? To lift your eyes to the hill where your help comes from. And here, I can't help but believe that Hosea was like, God, you've got to be kidding me right now. There's no possible way I can love this person. I believe that Hosea's love for God trumped his love for Gomer. And because he loved God, he was willing to be obedient and loving Gomer. And he wasn't just called to take care of her, just to kind of look after her and provide for her needs. He was called to love her and to make a choice to love when it wasn't always easy. This is a hard text. This is a hard piece of scripture. But I believe that it is the scripture, that it is the word of God for us to pull from and to live like. Just a minute as we close, I want to pray for us and to say, man, what are those things, those relationships where I can go to another level? And what are those things that God wants to heal in me? Here's the cool part about the Gomer situation. Many people were willing to pay a price for Gomer so they could buy her to use her. Hosea bought her to heal her. And so the motive of our love should be to bring healing, to make them shine and look like Jesus. Let's get our hearts checked. We can operate with the love of God. Would you all stand with me this morning as we close? Perhaps you look at a scripture like this and you're like, that's just crazy. Didn't even know that it was in there, and wish I didn't know that was in there, right? But man, does it challenge and call out the best of us. The easy part of us is just to kind of look away and go in a different direction. The best part of us is to step up like Jesus would and to give our all. Let's pray. Jesus, I just pray that every person that is in here, Lord, we just identify as Gomer. We identify as those that just turn to our sin and go to shameful things, but the love of Christ overwhelms. Jesus, I pray right now that we all would encounter the love of God. Lord, I pray that we would just be baptized with the liquid love of Christ, and you would wash away the sins of the past and the weight of the world that's on us. Father, I pray that you would call out the best of us, that we would love like Christ, and we would give it all, no matter the price we would pay to win people back. Lord, I just pray healing on marriages. Lord, I pray for peace in homes. Lord, I pray for joy and romance and thrill to come back alive inside of our hearts. Lord, I pray for an insane, crazy amount of grace and forgiveness for one another. And Lord, I pray that there would be a passionate pursuit of one another's hearts. In Jesus' name, amen.
So we're so glad you were with us today. You can subscribe on iTunes or Spotify or your preferred podcasting app. Be sure to rate us so other people can know about the podcast.